There's a ghost bed in the room. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, makers of the coolest beds in the world. I use one, and I sleep poorly, so you know it's great. Thanks, Ghost Bed.
I'm going to be in Rochester, Denver, Batavia, Illinois, Portland, Eugene, Oregon, Bend, Oregon, Huntington, New York, Newton, New Jersey, Herman, Maine. I'm going to be up at Foxwoods in Connecticut in December, Boston in Connecticut in December. JimNorton.com for details /tour.
Jim Norton can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck.
And it's funny, no matter how many years I'm doing stand-up or podcast or anything, that moment before you go live on something is always uncomfortable.
I literally just was having like a small panic in that. I'm like, what for what?
I know, but it's
this
weird.
This is nothing. This is practice for another podcast. I mean, it's all practice for
sure.
Nothing. It's, there's no... I told somebody now.
Probably not
that,
the most complimentary statement to start
please,
with.
Please. Now that Colbert has been executed in front of us all, there's no like mountaintop anymore. It's all just like the same thing.
Yeah, it is kind of. It's all like just kind of surfing from one large wave to a regular size wave to a small wave. There really is no peak where you're going to stay and go, all right, I've made it. I'm good. I'm here.
I mean, Rogan, I guess, but Rogan, like, we've all been doing Rogan so long that it's even that's like, meh.
Shane, there's a few of them that are like, oh, okay. Like, whenever I'm in a place, I'm not selling tickets. I'm like, ah, tickets aren't selling. And I see Shane has sold out the Garden. I'm like, yeah, they are selling. If they want to come see you, they
no,
come
see
you.
Business is down across the board.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing when they go, like, they tell you why your tickets aren't selling.
Yeah.
And they're like, rodeo's in town. You're like, rodeo? Am I, do you think that's the same audience? Okay, it's the rodeo.
I always let them off the hook, though. I'll always be truthful about it, and I'll go, nah, if they wanted to see me, they'd come. They would buy a ticket if they wanted to see me. Like, I make sure that they know I'm not buying it, just because they're being nice, but it's like, let's be realistic.
No, yeah, I don't ever go like, yeah, the rodeo, fucking that. It's always your fault. That's the better way to be about anything.
When you're doing a show, like I was doing one show, it was a club, it was half sold, whatever, and Jim Jefferies was in the... in the theater, the 2,500 seat theater, and they're like, "Do you want to go see him?" I'm like, "No, I don't actually."
Would you? Do you want to be humiliated today?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you still have a humiliation kink? We'll go over and see.
Yeah,
Jim
your ex is fucking that guy with the giant dick. You want to look through the window?
No. Is that your thing? No. Okay. Yeah. Do you? Have you? Has popularity been like even for you, pretty much? For like the long, for 20 years?
It was...
I remember hearing you were doing a theater in like 2001.
Yeah, it's Town Hall.
And being like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, in 2002 and 3, I was doing like the Orpheum and I was doing like 2,500 seats. But that wasn't all the time. And then when radio came back, but I definitely was, I peaked. I mean...
Why was that?
Because the radio show was such a psychotic... and very, very loyal group of people. So they would, if you were performing, they'd come see you.
Yeah.
But even back then, I was never doing what guys are doing now. Like, it just wasn't the same. Like, I was never going to be in arenas. But now it's like some markets are really good, some markets aren't. But, I mean, I had that at one point. So I'm realistic about, you know, every time.
Do you try to correct? Do you just go, like, I got to write more? Like, what's your...
No, because I like my material. Like, I'm happy with
you.
I love it. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
You do? I'm kidding.
No, I do like it. I knew saying that was like, no, but I like me.
No, I...
My customers like me. But I'm happy creatively with what I do, so like that's all you can do. Like, I'm not looking at my special going, fuck, I hated that. Like, I actually loved it, and I very rarely like what I do. So this I'm happy with because it's just a fun hang. So there's nothing I'm like, I wish I was doing that better. So it's like if it goes somewhere, great. But if it doesn't, I'll never think I should have done this better or different because it's what
I'm
doing.
You don't do like social media. You're not like, I got to hit the... hit the socials more. There's none of that.
I do them. No, I mean, nobody. Again, I mean, I blink a lot. I'm kind of uncomfortable to look at. Like, I'm realistic about what my place is in a visual medium. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not 25. Hey, guy. Like, I just can't do that. So yeah. People who like me will like me.
You do love pranks, though, right?
I love a good prank, but they're really subtle. Like, I'll switch the AM and the PM Excedrin, and I'll go into the supermarket, and I'll film it, and I'll leave the camera. No, so I'm realistic about it. You know what I mean? You have to be.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have those. And when you came in, I have a Woody Allen, a signed Woody Allen poster, which is one of my prized possessions. And you mentioned his Bill Maher interview, which I did not see, except for the clip of him talking about movies that he liked and didn't like and what he saw and didn't see.
Yeah.
And it was just really, even though it was, again, he's very old and he kind of, I just love Woody and I love
him. I do too, but it is, don't you find it interesting, like, seeing someone expire in real time? And I don't mean like we're watching him die,
yeah,
which is also true,
sure,
but I'm saying like he was like the shit,
yeah,
in the 70s, 80s, even the 90s, and he made like Match Point was 2001
2005.
Or five, yeah. Yeah, so like he's a killer and now it's just kind of like meh.
Yeah, all that the allegations against him just wrecked him, like, and it made it so like controversial to work with him. It just it soiled everything. But we were talking on another episode about how much I love his stand-up. He's the most underrated stand-up because, he stopped in the 60s, but the nightclub years of Woody Allen, I think I put up there with anything Pryor did or Carlin did. Like,
yeah.
it's the best joke writing in history of anyone.
I haven't heard very much. I should listen to it.
Yeah, it's like my mother used to, when I was 12, my mom worked at the library. This is a really nice story.
I love it already.
She would bring home records for me, like Reality, What a Concept.
I just say, if this story ends now, it's been great.
Unfortunately, though, and I would say fortunately, there's a lot more to it.
Great.
This is only chapter one in what is going to be a long tale of little
very
Jim
big
Norton.
Serving. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, innocent jokes I had before I blew my friends. I think that the Woody Allen nightclub years was one she brought home. It was a 3-record set, and I loved it, man. He was one of my first stand-up loves. Very underrated. So yeah, if you can get it, listen to it.
But what I'm talking about is like somebody being. You ever like Google Warren Beatty or like just seeing someone be like in the prime of their life and then they just like it's the Back to the Future, just like they
crumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crumbling,
and,
falling
but
apart.
But also like culturally so relevant and so like the heat was all on them.
Yes.
And now it's just like we don't care about that anymore. It's like it's kind of startling to watch.
It's got, and you can turn, if you guys want to call. If you need advice, feel free. If not, then don't. But it's weird. Like the worst is when you're watching someone trying to recapture it. Thank you. And when you're watching someone try to not let it go.
Yeah.
Or
like
recapture
Madonna
it.
Madonna being a good example.
Yes. Trying to be sexy. And it's like, you're still like, you're an icon. You don't need to be sexy. You've already done it. I understand you want to look a little younger. I get it. But you don't have to be sexy.
But if your move is sexy, I mean, her mistake is like she didn't really create a second move.
It was just sexy.
Yeah.
But she, I mean, look at the picture of her. She looks, I think, better now than ever. That's just me. I love
She actually became more your type.
Yeah, weirdly. She did. Yeah. Plastic, kind of a chimp mask. Yeah, really. Really lovely.
Yeah, it is like a horror movie from 1999 or something.
I'm just trying to delete this. I always discard the video. No one cares. Okay. Yeah, but her holding on.
No, bring us into your OCD process.
Well, I just like to discard the video because I don't want clutter on the phone.
Of course.
I'm afraid that, you know, the memory's being eaten up. Don't
Pretty
get me started. But she's one of those ones who, like, stop. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You can just be you and like, be a little bit older. I get for women it's harder. Like, no one cares. Like, I'm fatter than I should be. No one gives a fuck. They make fun of me for it, but it's not going to hurt me. Whereas when you're a sex symbol and it
but
all.
But also, just being a singer is a horrible job anyway. It's just so like you're gonna expire. It's just how humiliating is
yeah.
it for everyone.
Yeah, or yeah, are you gonna go out with dignity or is it gonna be like Frankie Valli, who's doing terrible lip syncing and holding the mic like this and he's like 5 feet off the mic and it's obviously a record playing.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him. But I'm tolerant of singers. Like a guy like Elton John, if his voice cracks or when Ozzy's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, you're 75.
Oh, I agree with that. But at least like, there's. Did you watch the Billy Joel, by the way? The Billy Joel documentary?
I didn't know even know about it, no.
It was on HBO. It's better. The first part I thought was really good because I didn't know anything about him.
Right.
And the second part was kind of more like behind the music. But yeah, I'm with you in terms of like, how do you end it?
Yeah.
How do you end it?
What do you do?
I mean, Johnny Carson was a good example of just like disappear and never. They took one picture of him on a boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Yeah, but
great.
He had emphysema and he dropped dead in, I think, 2005. I think he was, 12 years after he left, he died. Tony Bennett did it right. Again, but for a guy who's not built on being sexy, like if you can go out like that or Sinatra or any of those guys who just keep singing, we're fucking like Patti LaBelle or any of them. They sing late into their life. But it's when you're relying on trying to be young that you're finished.
And also go to a smaller venue.
Yeah. Oh, I have. I have. Right. Yeah, it's BYOC. Bring your own curtain.
for the back of the room.
Behind row two. And yeah. It looks like it's a mob scene.
Yeah. And boy, and you come out and go, boy, this place is packed, huh?
It's a mob.
Oh, to the gills.
Yeah, you get really comfortable seeing a waitress seated on the Saturday Late Show in the back of the room. She's either enjoying the show or she hopes I cut my own throat.
Watching clips of you when you were more popular.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, Jesus, 1,000-seater. Incredible.
Yeah, it's a little humiliating. But again, I guess it beats the option, which is not doing it, but not by much. It beats it by a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it is like an older comic was like, you can't believe the amount of people that quit between like 55 and 60.
Yes.
And now I know what he means because it's like, how much longer are you going to fly around? Like, there's always the optimism of like, I'm my best days are ahead of me. And I'm going to, and then
sure.
Where you realize like, okay, so this is, I'm just doing this room and then it's going to be smaller, shittier cities. And that's shitty. Cities do get worse.
Yes.
They're not all the same. So I'm just wondering like how I don't even know why we started talking about it, but how you approach it.
I mean, I just, again, I still make a decent living.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I still am enjoying it. And because I turn over material, there's always that thing of working towards material.
Yeah,
like, I feel good about that. But it's guys who are doing the same stuff. Like, I put something out and I'm happy with the new hour. Like, again, it still needs a lot of work. But I'm like, yeah, I like that I've created this new thing. You know how it is. I don't feel like I'm doing the same old thing. So you don't feel like you're dead.
Yeah.
I feel like, all right, at least I'm alive and still thinking. Do you work because you want to or you have to? Like, you have money. I mean, I know you have
money. I must
have
some money, right?
Right. Sure.
I mean, right. We can all admit that.
But some guys...
I work because I like it.
You like work. Yeah. But you could
but
just
But I
stop.
Don't assume... I worry about, like, just getting into a fender bender and then that ruins my... You know what I mean?
Lawsuit like, stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Like, just some random thing. And I'm like... But I told everybody to fuck off.
Yeah.
I told everybody in work world, in showbiz to suck my dick.
Yeah.
And then I have to come up and be like, I got into an accident.
I need money. Yeah.
So I work for that reason. And also like, I like it. It's like energizing and also like writing jokes and like, and being competitive, like wanting to be as good as other people.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the reason I do it.
So. Oh, and you look at one point, like, Dane got a lot of money taken from him, Billy Joel.
Absolutely.
Like, you really can lose money if you're not.
And what's fucked up is I use Dane's brother as my accountant. So I'm just hoping.
I use Billy Joel's.
Yeah. So that's how we stay on top of it.
Sure.
Keeps us fresh.
Yeah. Hey, what did you do to him again? All right, let me just be careful to avoid that.
Not me. Won't happen again.
Never sign over power of attorney. That's my only financial advice. Never give power of attorney to anyone, even your fucking accountant, other than to bill pay. Like, you just got to be. I'm very paranoid.
How about your wife?
No. Are you kidding me? Her financial decision. Why am I whispering? Fuck her. She's terrible with money. No, she would blow.
But
this place
I'm talking about power
months.
Of attorney. You go to a coma.
Oh, good.
Same look, by the way.
I don't even know.
I had to do that joke. Jim, you understand? I had to do it legally. I had to do that.
I understand,
joke.
And I wasn't upset. But you were obligated, and you fulfill your obligation. Would I give her power of attorney into a coma? No, like, because if I have a pull the plug thing and she would want to keep me alive. She wouldn't want to pull the plug. So I took it away from her. I'm like, I gave it to my old manager has it. Like, my medical stuff is yank the plug. I'm not going to waste away.
Well, but you know that most doctors have that. Most doctors have a do not resuscitate. Because they, if you get CPR done on you, the thing they don't say is like, you break four ribs.
Yeah.
Like automatically they're going to break shit. You get trached, all kinds of awful shit. Doctors are all like, don't do that shit to me. Just let me die. Because I know no one's life gets better after that.
Yeah. And you don't want to wake. I don't want to. Being locked in is my greatest fear. Like not being able to move, but being awake and just having an itch. Like it just seems like such torture.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just let me go. But she wouldn't. So I have it in the thing where they would override her as my wife. Like, I just don't want
to. Do you think she'd be dramatic about it?
My God. Yes. You ever see a transsexual lose their husband? It's not fucking calming. It's
Jim, you're not going to believe this. I haven't.
No, I know. Hopefully you will soon.
But I'm hoping this Oscar season someone will make that movie. Yeah. I'm assuming one of these Oscar seasons.
Yeah, the dramatic. Yeah, it would be very dramatic. Do you do, and I know before you came, Mike said that you had been doing like ayahuasca and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that, because my ex does it and she goes to Peru. She's gone multiple times. How many times do you do it? And is it just getting high if you're doing it more than once or is it actually helping you?
It like got me off antidepressants.
Oh.
So like that's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
But how? Did it help you realize things?
No. Well, it's a longer story, but like the second time I did it, I like went from being an atheist to like believing in something. Like, okay. Oh, okay. And then the third time I did it, it was the worst experience of my life by like a factor of 100.
Why was it bad?
Well, Jim, great question. Because I was thrust into outer space and the universe was dying. And also my thoughts were refracting. So I'd think like, what? And it would go, like locked in.
Oh.
I literally was like, I'm fucking locked. I can't believe I did this to myself.
Right.
And then the universe is dying.
And you're in space.
And I'm in outer space. You know I don't like space.
Yeah, no. You don't even have a space suit.
So that was really bad. But then I came out of it. And I realized like, oh, my brain is different. Like the chemistry of my brain's different. I'm not going to need antidepressants anymore.
And you feel like, were you taking them? Did they actually help you? I've always been scared of taking them. Like maybe Wellbutrin I've thought of because like, I'm afraid they affect your dick and I'm afraid like that.
They do affect your dick. Not Prozac, the other one.
Lithium?
No. Show me some respect. It wasn't lithium.
Hold on.
It was the Zoloft.
Haldol? Oh, okay.
Zoloft. You're in the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest fucking...
Yeah. They scar your head?
Yeah.
The chief bring a pillow?
Yeah, like, so they... That made me last longer, actually. Zoloft. So that
was good. Oh, it didn't kill your dick?
No.
Oh.
It was like a great... It was a great thing of like... Oh. It made me last like... So long, it was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this is not helpful.
I thought it like made it where you couldn't get hard.
Yeah, I think it would, but I was like in my 20s, so it was like a perfect balance. Mm-hmm. And then I took, and so I would take that. But it didn't affect anything negatively.
It didn't. I was aware of. No. Okay, but when you got, so you took it for years, and then when you get off it, how do you feel? How long, like, was there like a crash period after you got off
it? Well, no, what's interesting is I started. LA is so fucking stupid. We know that. But somebody gave me testosterone cream. And I was it wasn't even testosterone. It was, I can't remember the name of it. Like, Bobby Kennedy's trying to get him passed. Like, it's like a whatever. So I rubbed it. Long story short, I started getting panic attacks on stage, which. So then like the week of my first Netflix, like I started getting panic attacks. I was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Like closing in, can't breathe, can't think.
Mm.
So then so what happens, long story short, I still get them. So now I take, propranolol, which is an anti panic attack thing. When it's super, it's like simple. I take it. Anytime.
Now you still take them.
Yeah. Okay. I take them when I have shows. Like,
is it anything? Is that a beta blocker?
Yeah.
Okay, because I asked somebody about those because I panic when I fly, and I did a good job. Like after the pandemic, I just hadn't flown in so long, and it was right back where I'm literally sometimes flying, looking out the window the whole time at the wing like a douchebag. And it's just uncomfortable, and it's such a big part of my life.
You think that's douchey?
You're a douchebag. If you're actually staring at the wing, you're an absolute bona fide douchebag. Because it's annoying. You're like a child.
Are you wearing sunglasses? What's douchey
about
it? Yes,
I am. But it's because of the sun. And I'm also just making sure the wings are okay. It's a complete asshole move.
Okay.
I've actually stopped doing it. I've actually started closing the windows and saying, there's nothing you need to see out there. Mind your business. I would monitor the speed on my app. I have flight aware, but it was too much, like the height, the altitude, the speed.
Yeah.
But that was all okay. But I thought of taking a beta blocker before I flew. Does it help when you're doing something like that?
Yeah. My girl takes it for flying. I gave one to Stavros. He was going to, and I hope he lived. probably the dumb thing to do, but I gave him one. He's like, whatever.
Was he nervous about flying?
He was going to Venice, and I don't know. He just really wanted to live it up.
He was going to sink it when he's...
So...
Great news. I recently went into the Blue Chew home offices. I happened to be in town. I know somebody who knows the owner very well. And unfortunately, I was not able to meet the owner. But I would love to say thank you and shake his hand with my penis. And let him know this is a result of this fantastic product. I love taking Blue Chews. I take them when I'm alone just to feel like a man. I take them when I'm at home just to show everyone who's boss. I walk in the room like that. My wife, the dog, the neighbors, everybody runs out. So impressed. Thank you, Blue Chew. Let's have a couple of the funny lines that Blue Chew wrote. These are really good ones. It says here, riff on these thought starters and add some off the dome. Go nuts. I like this. This is somebody sounding young. I know how to get to the young people. Go nuts! Jack could climb his own stalk on one of these beans. Wow. I popped a Blue Chew, and now the TSA calls me sir before every pat-down. Add some mass to the main man. Who wrote these? My aunt? I took Blue Chew, and now my reflection won't make eye contact. No, that's not true. My reflection wouldn't make eye contact before because I was a limp-dicked fool. Now that my penis is working beautifully, thanks to my usage of Blue Chew, I can finally make eye contact. You can tell whoever wrote this has never lost an erection. Well, I have. And Blue Chew is so helpful. I finally can look myself in the eye and go, it works. Listen, guys, this is not just about performance. This is about legacy, or put on your laughing hat, third legacy. Give her group chat something to talk about that's positive. Because if you're a limp, soft-dicked, slug-penised fool, she's talking about it. You know when you lay it down properly. They're talking about how good it feels and how great you are in bed. Nothing makes you more of a legend than a little Blue Chew. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. We have a special deal for my listeners. As always, you get your first month of Blue Chew free. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. You pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Join Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. Head to BlueChew.com for details and safety info. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. I use your product even when you don't sponsor the podcast, and I love it. Thanks, Blue Chew.
They work okay. Great. They're like seamless. You don't even know. You don't think about it.
But you don't feel high or anything?
No.
Oh.
No.
Me, I should take one. I have a few of them. I haven't taken one because I was like, I don't want to do it on a flight my first time. I want to take it somewhere else to see if I like it or not.
Yeah, it's you really won't notice. And their doctors will give them to you like not a problem.
And it knocks down that. It's all that chemicals
you just
in
can't,
your chest.
Your heart rate can't go up. They can't get above a certain rate. So I can feel it trying. And it's just like, no, we're not going above 80.
And it does help you not be nervous.
Completely. I'm alert, yeah, but I'm not going to have a panic attack.
Now, could you take them on stage too?
Yeah, I exclusively.
Oh,
take them
but so
stage.
It doesn't fuck your brains up. Like,
no.
That's what scares me is
my crowd work is awful.
Where are you from? That's so nice.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, dude, welcome. Yeah, just friendly crowd work.
I love your shirt.
It's repulsive. I want to do a whole special of friendly crowd work.
That's hilarious.
I used to put up bad crowd work clips because I just think it's so funny to just ask somebody something that goes nowhere. It just makes me so happy to do that.
Great to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. I'll be careful. You know, and then just move along. Just no joke.
Yeah. So you could, I don't, I have one. I can give you one.
I think I have some. I'll show you the one I have after. Hoping I'll pull out the wrong thing.
I don't know all the brands. Yeah.
I'll bring out and tell you how many milligrams I have, and you tell me. If it's
are you a you take boner pills?
Yeah, I haven't in a long time. I take Blue Chew actually, even though not just because they're sponsors, but they work. I love a good fucking dick pill.
They all work.
Love them. Yeah, they do. But Blue Chew works faster. And I feel like it's like I'm doing an ad read now. But you have that little blue grit on your teeth. But I used to take Viagra.
You've
Viagra. I used to take Viagra, but that fucks your eyes up, and you get blue streaks, and your nose is stuffy. Yeah, and I was taking 100 milligrams when we were in Brazil. Me and Keith Robinson going to whorehouse. It's just fucking three girls a night, and I wound up loving Levitra, but Cialis, because that one worked really well. So it was the stay in your system for like 3 days.
Brazil. I always found Brazil interesting as like a. What I always admired about you, Jim, if I may,
sure.
is the openness with which you were just like, yeah, I'm, you were always just open about what you like sexually pretty much.
Yeah.
And then when you guys were like, we're all going to Brazil. I'm surprised the airline didn't sponsor that trip. It was so public. Like everybody was like rooting for you. Like, I wonder how the guys are. But so I, and you never, were you ever nervous about it?
No.
I mean, I think that's what's good about the radio show was like you knew who your fans were.
Yeah.
Whereas as when I started comedy, I was like, it's easy. I just didn't really know who it would be.
And how they
and
would
I thought
react.
I would get women, meaning I thought I was trying to like get female fans.
Oh.
Also, which I think is probably a losing battle. But.
Yeah, I've sacrificed a big group there. I have some female fans. The ones I've gotten, though.
Are gross.
They were good, girl. I apologize for that, ladies. You eating my ass on a first date was respectable, and I appreciated it. They were goers. Like anyone that would tolerate my material and be comfortable and still want to go on a date. Some of them just liked it and found me sexually repulsive. But the ones that wanted to like hang out after, they were dirty. And they like a lot of them liked that you talk about stuff. Like, I don't feel ashamed when you talk about this stuff. And they would open up and they would show me their dirtiest side. Because they knew I wasn't going to judge them for it or be...
And you would love it,
yeah.
Right?
And I would record it and put it on the internet. Look at this whore. Shame. No, I loved it. I did. But not as long as you're not hurting like somebody or the person isn't a fucking kid. Like, being a pig with another adult is awesome. Like,
yeah.
I was never ashamed of it. And usually you don't get much pushback because people all kind of know that their side of the street's a little dirty, too. So what are they going to say?
Yeah, you think you would, though. Like, I would watch and go, aren't you worried? But there's been no...
No, I didn't care. No. And it's also like, there's a whole thing...
Although,
like,
I think Keith's strokes are probably God
smiting
him, right? Yeah,
yes. Attempting to smite him. Yeah, smite.
So he missed him the first time.
Yeah.
And then the second one was more a more solid smite.
He almost got him the second time, but Keith had ducked real quick to pick up something Wanda dropped.
Oh my God. Holy shit. That's even for a Keith joke, that's mean.
So yeah, but you can't be like, if you're I find that with any material, whether it's political, whether it's sexual, if you're, what's the old thing, if you're okay with it, they're okay with it. Like, never, I've never asked them if this is all right through the way I deliver it. And I'm sure you do that with politics or anything. Like, and if they don't like it, they don't like it. But if I give them a chance to go like, yeah, that's wrong, they're going to kill you. But if you truly, you have to mean it. But if you truly don't care how they feel about it.
But did you, but nobody was really doing that. Your like your act was always like, Chappelle is an observation that like everyone, every comic represents some constituency.
Yeah.
And I feel like you were the first person to represent your constituency
and perversion. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there were no perversion. There were no comics like that I'm aware of.
Yeah. And talking about it from a personal point of view. Like, I'm guys would do dirty jokes, but it's like you got it, like telling the real truth. But people related to it. It wasn't that, and it's like, you know, in the old days, comics would laugh at it. So I'm like, oh, these guys like this, so it must be funny. Like when I was like a year into the business, that's the stuff the other comedians like. So I was like, you know, it felt good to make them laugh. So I'm like, there's something here. And I knew it was my own stuff.
And did your mom?
My dad called me one time. I just started going on the radio and I was talking about this girl I used to date. I used to have her piss in a cup. And I would drink it in the car, but I would have her tip my
hand.
Your dad
was like, it wasn't one of my cups, was it?
It wasn't your mother's piss, was it? But no, I would have the girl would tip my hand like I was a dirty boy. So I was telling...
I love hearing people's kinks. They're so stupid.
I was telling the story on the radio, and my dad called me, and he goes, your mother and I were listening today. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I told you were just kidding about that stuff. And I'm like, oh, of course, Dad. I could hear the desperation in his voice. Please... don't let my son be telling the truth about drinking urine out of a plastic cup. So I was like, yeah, no, I was just kidding, Dad. You know, I was just joking.
But it like almost like your mom was on speaker or it was like.
No, he was just... with her.
Oh, God. OK. So it was like he was looking for assurances like
I was kidding.
Please. And did he ever do that again?
No. I mean, he knows like I mean, how many an hour on piss? I mean, he knows I'm not kidding. Like after a while, they know. But at first, this was when I first started being really public, like,
yeah.
Being known and hearing
after
on the radio.
A while, it's like this is pretty specific.
These guys either a great writer or a bad person.
Did you? I guess it's like, what do you got, brothers and sisters?
I have a sister who's 7 years younger. Very normal person.
Did she give a shit?
No, they would come to shows. I would never want to see them because of stuff I talked about.
Yeah,
so I would always have them towards the back. And it was just because I'm embarrassed. You can't look at your mom. And I would edit certain jokes when I knew my mom and dad were in the audience. Certain specific jokes that, like, they wouldn't care, but it was just for me, it was embarrassing.
Well, it's hard when you're doing that to, when someone's at the show, to not just see the show from their point of view.
Yeah.
Like, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
It's so fucking hard not to think of them.
Yeah,
the whole fucking show.
You don't want your parents to see evidence of the abject failure of what they've done.
Well, that's my other question is your, we'll call them kinks, from a lack of parenting?
No.
Or from like, do you think it's just luck of the draw?
All it is. It's whatever. I talked about this recently too. Like whatever it is we like, right? There's weird people that like feet. There's people that
I
like.
I completely agree. I feel like this about and Chris Rock did a joke about it that he threw away, but it was like, just be thankful you're not.
Yeah, 100%.
Just be thankful.
Yeah.
Like, it's because I didn't pick any of the shit I'm into.
Yep.
It just so happened to be that's what I'm into, and I don't know why.
And I changed my. It's funny you said, years ago, I was talking to Russ Meneve. And we talked about pet. I don't know how it came up. I was like, yeah, they should be killed. And he just goes, man, I'm just so glad I don't have that demon.
Yeah.
And I thought about it like, yeah, he's right. Like that it is a fucking demon. And like, thank God that my weirdness doesn't go there. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not where my mind goes.
They didn't invent it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever they're into, they didn't invent the fucking thing that it's obviously awful.
Do you like feet? Is that what it is? Are you
no,
a foot
I'm.
Guy?
I actually I don't mind feet. I don't know what to do with them though.
Well, it depends on the size. I mean, if they're, I like big feet that are nice. I like big feminine feet. A shower is nice, but not necessary. And perhaps
don't
they need to be sniffed
out.
And cleaned.
Look, sweetheart, you can't pay your water bill. Not a problem.
Absolutely. Just as long as they're not dirty. I don't like dirt. Because I dated the dominatrix, and she would actually walk through dirt on the way to some client's hotel room because they cleaned her feet.
Great.
That's gross. But a good smelly foot. I like the body chemistry.
I don't.
The one
I like look. I like women like feminine shit. Feet would be in that, but I don't want to do anything with them.
That's a
like
healthy way to be though, because.
Thank you.
Without the conditions, you don't have all this mental bells and whistles that have to happen for it to be good. Where I was at all this crazy shit that needed to line up, and then if it didn't line up, then it wasn't a good
was
experience.
You would like slowly introduce stuff because you know it would be expensive. Where you'd be like, I don't want to get like some sort of fucking Civil War reenactment shit. Like, I'm gonna have to get the cannon. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna have to get, like, I don't wanna fucking be. If I start this now, I can't start that till the third quarter of next year financially.
It's like, yeah, I don't wanna start collecting comics because then I'm gonna have to go get all the best ones. Yes. No, it, fetishes for me would like happen like, it's almost like looking at a pie with a piece missing. Like the piece that's missing is what I'm into, and then the clock turns, and it's this piece that's missing. So I would kind of go from thing to thing.
Would you not know what was going to be revealed?
You kind of. Yeah, something would hit you, and you'd go like, it just had to hit you, and you go like, oh fuck, that was sexy that she said that, or oh my god, it would be a thumbnail, and you'd watch the clip, and it'd be like that. Hits me. It gets me. And I don't know why.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it would happen, but it would happen. But you don't have any of that stuff.
No, I really don't.
I
just don't. Like, I'm not. Yeah. It's not like, you know, I'm even vanilla. I don't give a shit. But
do you dirty talk with women? Are you a dirty talker? Or texter?
Here's my issue with dirty talk. A lot of the time, it's bad writing.
Yeah,
As a writer, I'm it's offensive.
You pride yourself on good writing.
Yeah, I just am not. I'm not. It's all the same about your cock is you're this or you're that. Like, it's kind of, it's a very narrow window of the, it's a narrow genre.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to go, like, if you want to go crazy with it, I think it's, but I don't, it's just not. And then you have to kind of, the other thing is like, you have to disavow it afterward. We're like, hey, you know, I'm not it. Yeah. I would never have 40 guys rape you.
That's her telling me.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry. I know it seems like that's just masterful acting, but I'm legitimately frightened. I'm in a hotel right now, and I'm just thinking about my ghost bed, and I don't have it with me. Even a man in my position can't travel with his ghost bed all the time. And I had to sleep in that crap bed all night last night, and it was frustrating, and I did not enjoy it. I genuinely love my ghost bed. Waking up drenched in sweat, it's not sexy, it's miserable. Ghost bed is here to help. Every ghost bed mattress is built with cooling materials to help regulate your temperature all night. So instead of tossing and turning in a puddle 3 o'clock in the morning, you stay comfortable, you stay asleep. I did not have that last night. I woke up and I was a sweaty, disgusting animal. Ghostbed's a family-owned company. That's great. But what really matters, 20 years experience, that's great. Here's what I like. They're priced up to 50% less than comparable brands. Plus, Ghostbed makes it easy. 101-night sleep trial, fast and free shipping. Most orders get to you 2 to 5 days, and there's a 20 to 25-year warranty. Now, if you're not sure which one to take, because there's a few different beds, you go to Ghostbed's redesign mattress quiz. And I was on the redesign committee. I said, let's make it fun. It's fast. It's smart. Even lets you and your partner take it together. No fighting over who's right. I wish that we had not already taken it because the holidays are coming up. And what a great thing to do New Year's Eve. You know, you stay home. You count down. You pick your bed. Right now, as a listener, you can get 25% off site-wide for a limited time. You go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghostbed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. See the site for details. I sleep on a ghost bed. I'm a terrible sleeper. I am finally sleeping good. It really is cooling, and I love my ghost bed.
Yeah, like I just, it's like the sort of pageantry around it. Yeah. I just don't, I don't, and also like how, the thing with other sex is like, I'm not there to, I don't want to fucking burn that many calories. Like, I don't want to fucking go crazy.
Oh, yeah, no.
And be stagey about it, like fake unnecessary blocking. Like, then we're going to cross. I'm going to fuck you. Put your leg, I don't care.
Yeah, none of that.
I don't care. It doesn't change the feeling of my dick going into the vagina, like,
yeah, but it's also the thing too, you're right, you don't want it to be stagey, it has to be natural, it has to be, it's a weird communication, it's almost like if somebody is embarrassing themselves in a room and you catch your friend and you guys just make eye contact, like, oof, and you both get it, it's like that feeling where you don't have to explain it, or you both under, it's a private wavelength you both click on, but it's very natural. And sometimes it's hit or miss. You know, it's like you play Operation when you were a kid. It's so hard to get in. But somebody who can get in there and just pull that little, they hit that button perfectly. But most people just, they're wrong.
Yeah.
But the ones that get it, get it. And those are the people.
But you can also, and I think, I don't know what your very dramatic trans wife is like, but
very dramatic.
I mean, incredibly dramatic.
Very.
can, like, you can lose a woman pretty quickly with the wrong.
100%.
Like, you can just see it, like, oh, fuck. And then if you try to go, like, why? Why was that wrong, but that the thing before it was right? Like, the same category.
It depends on how you get into it. Like, you have to get into it, like, BDSM stuff, right? Like, my wife got annoyed at me because I used to dirty tech way too much. I would dirty text her, like, way too much because I'm insatiable with it. And she would, she would, like, she's a normal person. She'd be like, all right, already, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted the fucking high to keep going, and she's very tactile and didn't need
how
that.
How could it even really keep, like, how would you keep it going?
Just keep talking about dirty scenarios. I had an ex that
would you change the scenario? Or would it be like, uh-oh, the landlord's here? Like, was it serialized?
It would be funny if I just did start like that. Uh-oh, exclamation point. no, it would just be you're just talking and you're just kind of nudging into it. It's like subtly.
Right.
It's like if you're flirting through emojis lightly. Like, hey, that was a great picture you posted. And you put casual. You always give them room to back out. Like, I remember years ago, I was talking to a woman who I eventually dated long term about being a cuck. And she really got it. But it was the idea of what she said to me. Like, I was talking about her fucking another guy. And I'm like, I would probably have to wait. And she said something like, yeah, well, the bigger cock always gets priority. And it was so... Well,
that's good writing.
It's
fucking great writing. But that's
it was a... You ever see in Pulp Fiction that needle? That was like a dopamine. It just was so dirty and laser pointed.
Because you love hierarchy.
I do. I love it very much. I'm never going to be more than Harry. And she was really Camilla-ing me.
Yep.
But it was the specific, like, if she could have said that raw and clumsy, and it wouldn't have done anything for me. And in real life, I don't want to watch her fucking, like, the dirtiness of it. But in real life, a lot of the stuff I wouldn't do.
All of porn would be a nightmare.
Most of it would
the
be.
The minute it's over.
Yeah, because you have to look at each other and like...
And like your brother, I mean, stepbrother, and then you got a chore. Like, just, you have to go back to life
normally
when you're not fucking.
Yeah, and then you have to see your stepmom.
You have to go to school, like fucking go to school.
Yeah, see the teacher, you blew. It's, oh, what do they do? Yeah, I imagine that's it. But that's where porn is like, it's not dangerous, but I mean, I just think you have to watch it and know what you're watching, especially since it's everywhere now. You should know, like, this is not real life. Like,
yeah,
you can have fun like this and enjoy it, and I think it's perfectly fine, but just don't convince yourself that this is how people really interact.
You're a good person to talk about this. Do you think, like the sort of Japanese, the sort of men and women, just like guys, just but like I'm just gonna jerk off, and women be like, we don't need guys. Obviously, it's bad for population. Bad for
sure.
Do you think it's wrong?
I mean, what do you mean? Do they just
like? Do you think? Do you think porn should never replace? Human interaction.
No, I don't think I think that,
or like it would, is there an amount you would cap it at?
I think every person is different, but I mean, the only time it should replace human interaction is like, what if you're really horny and you have an unhealthy option, like, oh, my ex is calling me, or that girl who I know is crazy, or that guy who's abusive. With my options, I'll watch this and get off, and
absolutely,
I won't have that interaction. So no, I think it's really can save you from a lot of trouble too. It's like anything else. Like, there's nothing wrong with eating, you know, a pie, but if you eat too
by
much
way,
of it, you're
no
a fat fuck.
No one knew what you were going to say.
I know what I mean.
This is great about
is it,
you.
Yeah, is it popcorn or shit? We don't know where you're going with this. Or a delightful combination. No, but it's like anything else. It's like just too much of it is not good. And I overindulged crazy, but it was never porn's fault. I'm not anti-porn. I love it.
No, but you were very quick to like paying for it.
Yeah, but I started when I was 18.
That's what I mean. Like, you were quick, like, the minute it was, you were of age.
That is
or
a good
had
point.
An income or got whatever your paper, I don't know what you pay for.
I still had temporary fucking plates on my back of my car. Yeah, it was, you're right. I guess that's young for most people, but for me, it was like sexual addiction started when I was like a real little kid. So I was years into pornography by the time I did that.
And did you have any you just were like, it's all adult consenting.
Yeah,
fuck it.
As long, and I was always nice to the girls. Like, I liked them. I love talking to them after.
Is it healthy? That, I guess that's my question. It's like, do you think there's a healthy way to do that?
Sure.
Because I kind of think there is.
Of course there is.
But yeah. But then I'm like, maybe I'm wrong because it's certain cultures. It's like Japan. They don't even fuck. People don't even fuck each other anymore. And I mean, obviously it's exaggerated, but
I mean? But I mean, it's like, look, anything that's becoming addictive and causing a problem is not good. Like, you know, I mean, people don't mind alcohol, but I mean, it's responsible for the spousal abuse and deaths and child. Like, it's a horrible, the overuse of it, what it does to you. But normally social drinking is great. It's like that with porn or sex or anything. I think, you know, just do a healthy amount of it. Jerk off a little bit.
But you, all right. But you, so you don't think like the incel movement, part of me wants to just tell incels, like, don't fucking worry about it.
See, I don't. I actually go, you're right. It's not your fault.
I'm saying
she's
the same thing.
Run her over.
There's a way of like, we're focusing on like the hateful part of it, but the idea of like, just don't worry about that. That doesn't need to be your goal.
Well, also restructure your goal. This is where incels go wrong. Like, I want my ticket sales to improve, but I don't look at Shane Gillis's calendar and go, that's what I'm going to do, because it's unrealistic and stupid.
Right.
So if you're an incel and you're kind of, you know, dumpy, or you're a little, you know, autistic or whatever.
You look at Keith's calendar?
I do. Yeah, I do. And I'm like, thank God I'm not him.
Somewhere in between.
No, his calendar is probably a lot better than mine, because Kevin takes him on the road and Wanda. I don't have friends like that. My friends are all failures. Fucking Voss. And Colin's not a failure, but he certainly doesn't include me in anything anymore. What were you asking me? I was speaking about my life.
Where incels go wrong.
They go wrong because they blame everyone else and they shoot too high. Like, if you're an incel, if you're like a 4, shoot for a 5 or 6, but stop looking at 9s, motherfucker. You're not in the gym. You have fucking, you have spit
like,
on the corner of your mouth. You're autistic. Like, stop it. Go for someone in your range and then don't cry when a 9 doesn't like you.
And also, what if women don't like you?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? It's like, we both deal with, like, some crowds aren't into us. I'm not going to fucking be furious at them for my whole life. Do you know what I mean? Like, and make it my identity of, like, these motherfuckers, which some people do in comedy. And
yeah.
It works for them. But, like, but, yeah, I don't, I'm kind of like, fellas, you got to just jerk off and think of a different goal.
And you will find a girl. Like, this is the problem, is they're shooting for the cheerleader, but they're not giving the cheerleader the option she deserves. Like, they're being unrealistic.
Yeah, she's a 9, you're a 4.
Which is fine, but if you want to go out and find a 5, don't look at a 5 and go, I don't want that pig, because that's how the cheerleader's looking at you. Yeah, I got shot down by attractive women my whole life. Like, it's been a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then through sheer, just from being in our business, you attract enough people who like your mentality. But I've always been a personality fuck. No one's ever looked at me and went, I have to fuck that guy. No one.
Oh,
no woman.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I have the insult of being probably rich.
Yeah.
And women are still like, no. No, thank you.
Yeah, but that's because you're not willing to do what I would do if I was probably... I mean, I'm doing okay, but you're richer, and I would spend even more money to achieve my goals.
Chappelle one time was like, man, you got to get a chain. And I was like, I'm never going to get a gold chain.
I'd wear the chain they put on a tire in the winter if it would help me get laid.
Yeah, I just can't. I just refuse to do it.
Oh, I would. Absolutely. I would gladly wear a fucking chain.
Did ayahuasca impact your sex life at all, or it's not?
It made me, ayahuasca and DMT made me able to access weird, not kink, like I can shake. In ayahuasca, I like shake like visibly for like 4 hours of just shaking like I have MS or
really.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
How many times have you done it?
20.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
A thing can happen where I've gone to places with women that have never done it. Where afterward I was like, were you, it was with my girl. I was like, ancient cave times? And she was like, Yeah. I don't know what it means. I don't know why. We hadn't watched cave content. We hadn't. It literally just like can go.
It you can did it get with you. Her.
No, she'd never done it. That's what's crazy.
Oh, like, I see. Okay.
She hadn't done it. I have. And I can. It's a weird thing now. Like when I do other drugs, and if I do MDMA, that I go to the ayahuasca place. Or if I do mushrooms, I go to the ayahuasca place. But the crazy thing is, so does she. And she's never done it.
So are you now, you said it helped you believe. I go back and forth with God. I mean, we communicate. we disagree about sports. But, and he thinks my ex sucks. are you now, not religious, but do you believe in a deity? Or did you get away from that after like another time?
No, I believe in like a, what I call like a central creation force.
Yeah.
Like an animator thing. Like a Walt Disney, no, whatever animates everything, whatever the energy of a life.
You believe in something, but not necessarily a Christian or a Muslim or
no.
Okay.
Not.
Is it a guy you would pray to? Is it something you would pray to that could hear you?
I am of the mind that it's so beyond, it like doesn't care. Like it doesn't care about like, did you help the lady across? It's like it's above that, if that may, I mean, again, that's just my own interpretation. But yeah, it's like I just don't, it's I think there's a morality to it, but I don't, it's not like don't eat fish or whatever.
Do you think being dead is the end of like this thought thing you have going like as a person, or do you think like your brain or something
I'm
continues?
Of the mind presently that like I'm a spirit that feel free to, if you see me, punch me in the face. A spirit that existed before 1973 in the whatever, and then it'll exist after you murder me after this podcast. No, it'll exist like, you know, after the
as
thing.
A person though, before like 19. So you believe
in, no, I don't believe in reincarnation.
Oh, you don't?
I just believe like whatever. Whatever my spirit is existed before, because if you think about your, I'm betting your thoughts now aren't that different than they were when you were first started thinking, like your orientation of like the way you see the world isn't that different, and you kind of go like, how the fuck was I thinking that then? And it's not even like fate or anything. It's just like it's all the same. Musical note or like whatever. I don't, to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, I would always think about myself as an adult, and I would picture myself as an adult black male. That's how I pictured myself. I always thought of myself as a black male as an adult when I was grown up. And I don't know why. There was no, I could tell you what the guy looked like in my head. I can't describe him. In Dog Day Afternoon.
This is already funny.
And not
there's
Leon.
Like three black people in Dog Day Afternoon.
One of them is the cop. One of them is the cop that comes in and goes, aim for white meat. That guy, his face is kind of how I pictured myself as an adult, as a kid. No, not him. You'll have to, he's the one that, he's supposed to be the original driver. And then Pacino goes, take a walk, cop. And he knows the guy is a cop undercover. I don't remember his name. You can probably find it in the credits. But that's how I pictured myself as an adult. Not from that movie. I don't think I'd seen that movie when I was... I mean, that's 1975. So I was seven. Maybe I did see it. But it was a very weird way to picture yourself. But there was no real racial implication to
no,
it.
It
was just how I saw my face when I was an adult.
Somehow no one's seeing it that way.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I don't know how.
Young as a young guy though, Dick Anthony Williams as a young guy, not like that.
So that's how you pictured yourself as an adult.
Yes, as the way he looked in Dog Day Afternoon is the best way I could describe how I saw myself as an adult, and I have no idea why that is.
That's so fucking. Had you dealt with black people at all in your life?
Yeah, just in the neighborhood.
Other than driving by and yelling epithets.
Absolutely, yes. Other than, of course, the servants in the house.
Yeah, of course.
No, just people in the neighborhood, sure. I mean, it was mostly white, but fairly, kind of like all the way on the right there a little bit. That was kind of how I saw my face. And I have no answer as to why.
But, and when did that stop?
I mean, did it? I mean, I am Dick Anthony. No, you know, a little bit older, you get a sense of self. I don't remember when it went away.
You
I
start
don't remember
to see what black people's role in society is. You're like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. Jesus Christ.
What am I doing?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Well,
I
that's fucking really interesting, though. Like,
when did I drop my invisible friends? Like, you know.
Yeah.
We all. I had that. I used to tell the story. My invisible friend was a woman in her 40s with a beehive hairdo named Helen. That was my invisible friend when I was young. I would always talk to Helen, and I don't know why. My mother would say, like, what is Helen thinking? I'd be like, well, you know. But that was my invisible friend, was a woman in her 40s.
Okay, well, I'll say this, that if somebody told me that that's how Jim Norton was as a kid, I'd be like, that checks out.
Yeah, an older black man and Helen fucking up a storm.
Yeah, like the comics table as a five-year-old, basically.
Yeah. I just don't understand any of that stuff. It's like, you don't, did you have an invisible friend when you were a kid?
I don't really remember. I don't, like, not that I can specifically say, like, yes, Chester or whatever. There was no any specific thing. But I just remember thinking in a similar way.
Were you like a fantasy person who would spend hours daydreaming? Or are you like kind of more practical and just...
No, I think I would I remember last night or a couple nights ago that I used to do like a character that I would call the demon. I forgot about it from forever. I was like, oh yeah, I would do the demon. I don't know what I was doing.
What
it was like
demon?
Kind of a bit. It was basically just a bit.
But would you act like the demon or like the demon was around?
I would act like the demon, but I don't know what he would... I can't...
Do you remember what he would say?
I can't remember anything specific about it other than like...
I wish you...
I know, it'd be great podcast.
I want to hear the... I'm doing this with the demon, this podcast.
But I remember shit like that. But I also remember like being funny.
Yeah.
And like... I mean, this is a self-congratulatory and creepy story. So when Saturday Night Live was on, I'd watch Saturday Night Live. I was like probably 8 when Eddie Murphy was on.
Yeah.
And like I'd have to run upstairs and get in bed when my parents pulled into the driveway. And then at a certain point, I was like, I went to my mom. I was like, hey, you have to let me watch Saturday Night Live. It's important. And as I was saying it, I was like, the fuck are you talking about?
Right. She's not going to buy this.
Like, but I didn't even know what I meant by it's important. But like, it ended up being an important sketch comedy, ended up being like and Eddie Murphy's brother ended up being in like an important thing in my life. And I don't know what I meant.
Let you watch it?
She did.
Oh, okay.
Because I was that full of shit. Yeah. No, but it was like shit like that where you're like, I don't, and that doesn't prove anything other than like, it's all felt like the same thing.
Right.
Which.
Who introduced on Chappelle's show, who introduced the idea of bringing Paul Mooney in and Charlie? Was that Dave or was that you or somebody on staff?
We used to go see Mooney like at Caroline's.
Yeah.
And he was so insane and funny.
And it's so funny. I think of Paul Mooney. He's such a great example of a guy. But people, like, they have to agree with comedy now. And half the things he said I didn't agree with. But I loved, I didn't
so
give a fuck.
Fucking funny.
Who cares?
I don't care that you fucking...
OJ didn't do it.
Yeah,
all right.
Great.
So what?
I know you may not even believe it. It's like he said he was going to rub the Queen of England with chicken grease. I don't know why he was going to... I don't give a shit. Yeah,
it was
good.
Just funny.
Knock yourself out.
His smile, by the way. No one lets you off the hook better.
The greatest teeth... I've ever seen.
And he let the air out of the balloon. And again, it shows you he's like a real pro. He wasn't just some, take you to the very edge, and then that big beaming smile and the air would come out
laugh.
Of the room.
Yep.
Yeah. And people would relax people.
He also had a
people.
Great thing that me and Chappelle would make fun of all the time, which was he would, if he wanted to shit on somebody, he would go like, what's that girl's name? She's married to Charles. What's her name? Princess Diana? Yeah, Princess Diana. Like, you couldn't remember that girl's name. Who was that? Who was that boy? He was president. He was had mutton chops. I'm not a crook. Richard Nixon. Yeah, like, he wouldn't know. So he would, like, implicate. He would get the audience in on a bit.
Yeah.
Which was, like, I literally stole it. Because I had a bit that wasn't doing as well. And I was like, let me try doing the Mooney. And it did 10% better. Yes.
Maybe they feel like it's their idea somehow, or that they've instigated, or maybe they feel like you're like improving the answer.
You wouldn't have said it unless they told you that they're indictable.
It breaks the illusion that or it adds to the illusion like that this is alive. It makes you feel like it's not a pre-written bit. Like, what's the name? Because, well, if he didn't know the name, he couldn't have done the bit. And then you do the bit, and you're like, oh my God, this is happening now. And we're a part of that. I would never have noticed that. But he was a nicer guy than people think, too. Like, he was a weird dude. Like, I got to know him a little bit, and we had him on the radio show. But he would be, if he didn't know if you were funny, he'd be a little shitty. And then if you established yourself as funny, he was a very nice guy. Like, he was a really strange test he would put you through.
He was a very weird guy. But, like, he was great on the show, and it was good to, like, hey, this fucking guy's funny as shit. And it's stupid that he's not more successful, and like give him a little. And then Charlie was me and Chappelle had written Half Baked, and like we turned it in, and then we did Mushrooms. Like that, we turned it on Friday at 6, and we're like, "Fuck it, let's do Mushrooms." Did Mushrooms, got a limo, went to a club, and then we saw, and so I'm on Mushrooms, and I see Chappelle talking of what like looks like Eddie Murphy's fat brother. So I go over and then it's Charlie, and he's just like got the fucking funniest stories.
Yeah.
And then we were writing a sketch later, and I was like, we should get Charlie Murphy to do this. And like we're like, okay. And then it ended up being like he changed the trajectory of the show with the story shit.
And you were doing I didn't know you co-wrote Half Baked until you just said that.
Does it change anything?
No. But I mean, we have to wrap up.
Because of that?
No, I love Clarence Williams III. And I met very few people that knew him. Link from the Mod Squad. I played a character named Bobby in 52 Pickup. He was in Sugar Hill, I think it was called.
He was in Deep Cover.
He's a great actor.
He was also
Purple Rain. He was Prince's father.
Yep.
He was hilarious in that. In a dark way. Don't ever get married. Mm-hmm. I loved Clarence Williams III.
He would like shake. He was like such a, I guess maybe he was an over actor. Maybe. I don't know. He was great, though.
He was great. Did you meet him? That's kind of.
Yeah, like, I probably quoted him in the last month.
I heard Brewer and Dave drove him crazy because they were high and he was trying to do scenes and he's like a serious actor.
This is really funny. Let me see if I can. So I think I have a photo. If I can find it quickly. I know it's a very important
That's okay. Point. We can always cut. Don't you worry. Don't By the time you you're worry. Seeing this, an hour of fluff has been chopped.
Let me go into my collections.
Yeah, Peggy Lipton from the Mod Squad.
Yes.
I had a big crush on Peggy Lipton.
Rashida Jones's mother.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Peggy Lipton? Who is the father?
Rashida Jones. Quincy Jones.
Did not realize that. Quincy Jones was fucking Peggy Lipton? Quincy
Jones was fucking...
Everybody, I'm sure he was. Peggy Lipton, Marlon Brando. Yeah, I didn't know he was with Peggy Lipton. Old man, I would have to be shocked by that. It's 2025. Folks, sit down.
Wait a minute.
Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton.
A black man, no less.
That's the teaser for this episode. Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton. She was hot, though. Were they dating, or did he just fuck her?
No, they were like married.
Oh, they were a couple. Okay.
I have a photo of me.
Is she alive?
Peggy died a couple years ago.
Do you ever meet her?
Yeah.
Nah.
I was friends with Rashida.
So you know.
Rashida was on Chappelle's Show.
You knew a couple of the Mod Squad people.
You know what? Who was the other one?
I don't remember his name. Michael Cole. The Mod Squad.
I have a picture somewhere. I'll forward it to you.
Sure, yeah.
Throw it up.
Yeah, we'll throw it up in post.
Whatever. So me and Chappelle are just smoking cigarettes, and they start rehearsing without us, and it's like passive aggressive.
Yeah,
because it's like we're the writers. He's in the scene, and then Clarence is getting like pissed off, like just like because me and Chappelle are like 23 at this point, so like. Aggravating anyway, and he couldn't remember the line, but he said, I'm gonna shoot your Cuban friend here, and then Guillermo says, I'm Cuban B, and he goes like, yes, Cuban B, which was not scripted, and I think he said it because he was mad at me and Dave, but it's like so fucking funny.
Wow. He just improv'd it.
Yeah. It's so fucking funny. And it's like in the movie because we were unprofessional.
Wait, Guillermo Diaz. Oh, okay. And I know Saget. It's so funny how Saget, it changed everyone's perception of Saget, that movie.
Yeah.
That was, Coke line.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. And I had a photo of me with him on, and I don't have anymore, but I had like him on, like me talking to him about
did he have any hesitation doing it or no?
No, because he's like dirty like that.
Yeah, he didn't care.
So
okay.
Like he liked doing, he was like excited. He was directing Dirty Work, Norm's movie.
Oh, I didn't when know you were doing that. Yeah,
same, yeah.
How hard is it, like, because your sketch writing is such an art, it's really hard to do well. And the ending of a sketch is, it just seems like an impossibility. Like getting a good
idea.
Here's
what you do, Jim. Freeze frame. Here's my list of how to end a sketch. Freeze frame. Cops come. You're under arrest. Everybody starts laughing.
That's funny.
Or if you have to, a really good joke. It never happens.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Almost never happens. Happened like Blind White Supremacist. We had a really good closing joke.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Like occasionally, but mostly it's like a mediocre joke.
Yeah.
But mostly it's, or just like if it's a TV parody, just be like, that's all the time we have. And then have somebody do another entrance.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a callback to somebody else.
It seems impossible to find a good
closing. If you just accept that it's, somebody told me the funniest, Dave Thomas, who was on SCTV, told me the funniest like description that me and Jabil used to make fun of all the time because it's so true. He go, when you're the head writer on a sketch show, people come to you with premises and you say, that's a great idea. Now go build a cathedral of shit around it. So that's like, so if we had an idea, we'd be like, all right, well, what's the cathedral of shit? Because it's just like a fake construction.
Yep.
But if it's credible, it's, it works.
Yeah, but the idea, that one little idea.
The premise is like, he's racist and he's blind.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll do like a documentary, whatever. Like, you do a documentary about it. Or like the N-word family, I won't bother. Yeah. Kroll and Birbiglia and a guy named Roger Hales pitched as a documentary. And then Chappelle was like, oh, we should just do it as like a 50s sitcom.
Did Nick and Mike write on that show too?
No, they just like, we would take outside ideas.
Oh, okay, okay.
Them and Metzger had an idea and Brian Tucker had a couple ideas.
Brian Tucker is very funny.
He's great. And yeah. When Dave left, I got him a job at SNL. He's been on.
For, is that where he works?
Yeah,
he
wrote on a Tough Crowd. 20 years.
Yeah, Brian Tucker's a really funny writer.
Yeah, he's great. So yeah, you just build a cathedral of shit. But it's like, if it's a good cathedral of shit, it's like kind of like, you know, it's got momentum. It's fucking, it takes care of itself.
Who's the best sketch writer you've ever seen? Like the guy, like, fuck, I'm having a hard time with this. So and so would know exactly how to fix this.
I haven't really worked with anybody. Obviously, Chappelle's incredible at it. Smigel. Robert Smigel.
Yeah, yeah.
My guess is Judd's good at him because Judd was the head writer on Ben Stiller's show.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm assuming Odenkirk and Cross are good. Odenkirk also came up with Motivational Speaker.
I know what that is.
The Matt Foley, that in a van down by a river. Chris Farley.
Never saw it.
Really?
No.
Oh, you've got a really fucking incredible 4 minutes of comedy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's Odenkirk's idea. I'm forgetting somebody. Jack Handy. Well, Jack Handy, I don't know if he wrote sketches, but there's certain guys. Seth Meyers, really good sketch writer. So, yeah, I can't really say who's like, anyone that can do it a long time is like Tucker's been doing it for 25, right. 30 years.
I was watching, did you see, because I've not seen the new Naked Gun. And I kind of want to see it because I've heard, it looked like it was going to be awful at the idea of it.
No,
but then they're like,
those kinds of jokes are fucking hilarious.
Then they're like, someone said, no, Liam Neeson's really great. And he's a very dramatic actor, kind of like Leslie Nielsen, Peter Graves. These guys were all great. And then I watched this sketch, which I'm sure you've seen. It was a moment. I don't even remember what show it was. It was Gervais and Stephen Merchant. and a little fella, and Liam Neeson comes in and he's like, I want to do improvisational comedy. Did you ever see that sketch where they're?
I haven't.
Oh my God, is it funny? I mean, it's really funny.
Yeah, I think it was on Extras, probably.
It might. Was it?
It was the travel show, Idiot Abroad.
Oh, got it.
Pretty sure it was that.
Oh, is that what that was? Man, it's. But I don't know if it was designed as a sketch or just cut out of a bigger part of a show. But holy fuck, was that funny?
Oh, well, I should also mention Jim Downey. James Downey.
Who's
Jim
that?
Downey, like one of the best sketch SNL people ever.
Yeah, SNL.
Tina's really good. Like, there are certain people that, like, can just do it. My buddy Mike Scherer used to write on SNL, and he was like, Tina just writes hits. You can just, if you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, it's not a skill.
It's like being able to write sonnets or something. Like, or being able to write one line. Like, it's just a different genre that, like, if you can get your brain to do it, you're.
It's a way your brain works. Because, like, when you look at, like, certain joke, like Rodney, I could never write jokes like Rodney, but it was, like, set up punchline. Or Geechee Guy has been popping up a lot lately in the algorithm.
That's funny.
And he is really hilarious. I mean,
yeah.
Very fun. What did he die of, by the way? Does nobody know what he died of? I they said cause of.
Case of Geechee?
he Geechee.
He had. I don't know. Yeah, he had. Was
he depressed? Because they're not revealing what happened. Either way, it doesn't matter. He was just very, very funny.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know how you feel about like a sketch on Instagram. There's a lot of young sketch creators on there, or if you think it hurts it.
I don't want to be like one of these back in my day people.
Yeah.
If it's a good premise, it's fucking hilarious. Like, I think it was. King Batch. Some of them are just aggravating as people, so it's like it's sort of dismiss them because they're sort of handsome and they exercise and like are they get like you're kind of like resent them a little bit.
Yeah.
But like somebody had a good sketch. I think it was King Batch where like remember there was that fight where like the black dude threw his hat in the air on the docks in Baltimore.
Yeah, like, was there a cruise ship next to it or something?
And like, and then a bunch of black people like it was like a black call to art. It was just a sketch of like being in, and then he's just throwing his hat in the air and black people would materialize. Just like if you can take a news story or like a cultural thing and quickly come up with a sketch, God bless.
Yeah,
but most of them. I generally don't like ones where someone's like talking to themselves, and like one's a shitty wig, and the other, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah,
do a little better. But again, I don't, like, they're all driving Lamborghini, so, like, fuck me. But I'm like, I like costumes. What happened to costumes and doing good accents and whatever? Like, it's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never a big, I mean, obviously Chappelle's show was fucking hilarious. And there's a few that were, but it was never my thing, old SNL. But, you know, you get older and you're just like, yeah, that's what I liked. And I can't watch Saturday Night SNL now. But I'm sure it's fine. I like the guys on it.
Yeah.
But
they're all individually funny.
I like Cam Patterson a lot. I'm happy he got it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, he'll do something. I didn't know he did characters, Cam Patterson. Like, he's just funny off the cuff.
If he does do characters. I don't know. My bet is he just was. They just were like, he'll be good. He's a good. He's culturally good. Like,
yeah, he's the
like
funny
Pete
dude.
Davidson, where it's like Pete didn't do characters, but like. He was a energetic. He was like a magnet for people. Like Cam's a magnet for people. I think.
I guess he is, right?
Yeah, he's like a. He's got like star. He's a star. So yeah. Like, just go like, we'll have a star here. That's good. Like Lauren, I know him a little bit. Like, just sees it as like you a toolbox of like I need that kind of person, that kind of person, that kind of person, and like that'll be useful as a thing for. I need people to watch for stars.
It's funny. I don't know when I realized I don't have star quality, but I do. Like I'm funny, and I know I'm good at what I do. But I there's a point in your life when you realize I don't have star quality.
Well, that's
other than I'm fat and gassy.
Colin Quinn has it's a joke where he was like, some people come into a room, and the definition of charisma is you come into a room and people want to say yes before they know what the question is.
Yeah.
And Quinn's joke was like, I come in a room and people go, what? Which is like, yeah, that's pretty much the difference between having stardom and whatever, like just funny. It's just fun. I'm like a lump of funny. I don't fucking know. Like, it's not. Before I go on, I don't go like, it's star time, baby. I don't know what I think.
See, that's the funny. I do say that, and it's not.
What's so sad?
Yeah, yeah, that's star time, baby. And then 31 people in the crowd. Yeah.
Waitress makes sitting down on her phone, makes eye contact with.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm losing money because you fucking late show not selling dud. Yeah,
I thought you had a lot of walk up. You.
Exactly. It's raining. You guys said this was good, but because there are people that have that, though. You're right. There are people that when you're around them, you're like, I get it. I see. Like, I understand. There's a magnetism that some people just have that other people don't, and you understand.
And you just go like, I can't. That's funny. Woody Allen said it. There's a There's an interview with Woody Allen. This guy named Larry Wilder. You can get him on iTunes, but he interviews like Woody Allen and Seinfeld, a bunch of people. Jack Benny, older guys. And, guys, if you're listening, Jim just did an incredible Jack Benny.
Thank you. And they're not just listening, they're watching too, and they got to see it in real time.
What a treat. It's worth the blue chew ads.
It sure is.
But Woody Allen's like, yeah, there's guys who are just like, they're writers, and there's just nothing. You can't make yourself charismatic. You either have it or you don't. And I used to listen and be like, this fucking child molester. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. This fucking guy. But like, yeah, it is like where you, I always see myself as like, for what I have, I'm making the absolute most of it.
Yes.
Like, let me just maximize what it's like. They call it looks maxing in the incel world. Let me just like talent maxing. Like, I'll direct it good, and it'll look cool, and it'll be good. Like, but you're not going to get like, I'm not a charisma machine, because I know charisma machines.
Yes,
and it's real different.
Who's the biggest charisma machine you've ever been around? And I've never heard that term, and I'm using it like I came up with it. But to quote your phrase,
Chappelle, obviously.
Oh, of course.
My favorite story that I don't even know this. Somebody was telling me, Chappelle's in high school. Martin Lawrence is like, had just done a movie. He was from DC. He was visiting DC, but he was like doing well in LA. Comes back to DC. Chappelle's on stage and Martin's watching him. Somebody goes, Martin, what do you think of this kid? And he goes, I don't know, but I can't stop looking at him.
Oh.
In high school. So you're like, okay. Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Who people.
I don't know
in
her.
Comedy. Like, I like her, but I understand other people don't. Like, I don't, my experience, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eddie Murphy, obviously, just like exudes fucking charisma. Who else? But then like, you know, somebody like, then there's guys like Burr or Louis who are like magnetic in a different way.
Yes, yes. Kind of, you know, psychotic Boston.
Yeah.
Rage-filled guys.
Yeah. 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 Trevor Noah, fucking super charismatic. So, like, you just go, okay, I get it. When you, I would do the Daily Show sometimes, and when Trevor would, like, we'd be there together on the desk, and it was just like, the audience was like, get him out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get this other energy.
Yeah. You
from
feel
here.
Like you're drowning in someone else's like, great energy.
Like, I hate it.
I always know that I'm having a panic attack like that when I start shifting in my seat and sit, like trying to sit back straight. And I'm like,
yeah, it's posture. That's your problem.
All right, look, we're way over. This was fun, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah,
thank you.
Pleasure.
And I'm sorry we didn't get to any calls. That was not a conscious decision. It was just fun.
Talking good.
To you.
We don't take calls.
We normally do, and I just literally forgot.
Too good.
And I have to be on stage in 25 minutes at the Cellar. But anyway, let's have a closing thought. Ah, perfect.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.